My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. I'm Kyle, he's James. We're the Insiders. Shout out to our friends at Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game from last night's 112-104 loss to the Rockets for the Kings coming up. We'll do it next segment.
Okay.
We'll do next segment. Let's do some scoreboard watching right now before we dive back into the Kings and Rockets game. Looking around the league, here's what we're going to start doing, James. I'm going to find the games that impacted the Kings or impacted the Western standings in some substantial way.
Okay.
I'm going to leave out teams like the Thunder because I don't think necessarily that unless they have some dramatic fall or some dramatic rise, then we'll loop them back into the conversation. But for now, I'm leaving the Thunder out because I think they're just a little bit too far gone.
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah.
Fair. Okay. First game, scoreboard watching. Here on the Insiders. And of course, we will have NFL free agency updates for you. The legal negotiating window opened today at 9 a.m. We will have those updates for you as they come down. So keep it locked in to ESPN 1320 all day, whether you're on 1320 a.m., the free Odyssey app, or with us on ESPN 1320 TV. That is on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Appreciate everybody watching. Shout out to the Chatty House. We love you guys very much. All right, scoreboard watching. Game number one, Bucks 124. Clippers, 117. Which of these two teams, James, do you buy more as a title contender?
Oh, I'm going to say the Bucks still.
Why?
Because they have Giannis, because they, you know, like if Middleton can get healthy, because they've got Dame. I think they have a lot of what the Clippers have. It's just that Giannis is better than everyone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not a huge James Harden fan, even like as an impactful piece at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like Norman Powell and Bobby Portis, while they play different positions, they kind of cross cancel each other as like bench players.
Sure.
I like Brooke Lopez better than Zubats. So I don't know. I just think that the East is an easier path. Like, there's one true team in the East
that makes sense.
I think you got to get through. And the Clippers have a long way to go.
Although, if everything shakes out how the standings currently are, the Bucks' first-round matchup would be the Pacers, who have owned them this year.
That's weird.
That's tough.
It's you know, it is until you get to the playoffs, and then you never know
things
how it looks.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd also say, too, like, the Clippers... You know, they go into this game and they just sat everybody. So PJ Tucker started, Terrence Mann, Amir Coffey started with Harden and Zubats.
See, okay, go ahead. Sorry, keep going.
And that's the problem. I mean, I don't trust that Kawhi Leonard and that Paul George will be able to be full strength in the playoffs. And I do think that the Clippers are going to start milking this a little bit. They're going to start.
That's once, what I think is happening.
Yeah, once they lock in a playoff spot, they're going to start like cutting back on their players.
Sure.
So
So that's why I trust the Clippers more, actually.
Okay.
Is because you just named their starting lineup without Kawhi Leonard and without Paul George. And it's like, man, Amir Coffey, I like Amir Coffey. He can play. Terrence Mann can play. Ivica Zubac can play. P.J. Tucker, 25 minutes. Don't want that from him necessarily. But you give me P.J. Tucker for 10 minutes in a playoff game, and I feel pretty good about it.
Okay.
And this is a team that has a ton of depth. I think you're right. I think they are gearing up for the postseason. And I trust. So to me, this is all. I know this is not super fun, but to me, it's all defense-based. And the Bucks' big thing all year is, man, they have not been able to figure out what they're doing defensively. And I think it's a little bit because their back line with Brook Lopez is a little bit old, but I just don't know if they have the dudes anymore.
We do have breaking news.
Oh, we got some breaking news.
From Ian Rappaport.
Oh.
The Packers are expected to sign Josh Jacobs.
Oh, that's fascinating.
That is fascinating. That's a big time, huh?
Wow.
Also, the Jets free agent Bryce Huff is signing a 3-year, $51 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Damn,
sources
man.
Tell Adam Schefter.
Man.
Good morning, Charlie.
That's tough. Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, that's big.
Dude, Bryce Huff can play, bro.
Yeah.
I always make fun of the Howie Roseman stuff because every time Howie Roseman breathes, people are like, Howie Roseman has done it again! He has inhaled and exhaled. He traded for Kevin Byard, who's washed. Like, I love Kevin Byard. He was really underrated in his day, but he's washed now. And when the Eagles Eagles acquired him from the Titans, people were like, wow, Eagles had a secondary problem, and look at Howie Roseman. He just, wow, how does the league keep, they should arrest him for what he's doing to the league.
That's right.
And now he's just, it didn't work. And Kevin Byard's just a free agent now. But the Bryce Huff signing is excellent. Just adding more strength to an already very, very good defensive line. Good for the Eagles. That's a great move for them.
Although they're saying that the Eagles are still shopping their other two big defensive linemen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox retired. I think it was Hassan Reddick who asked for a trade.
Yeah. And Josh Sweat. They're still entertaining. Would you go after either one of those guys?
Yeah.
You're the Niners? Sure.
Yeah, I think both of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I think probably more as rotational guys. I don't think I would want either of them being... Hassan Reddick can play. I think I'd be okay with Hassan Reddick being like a every down guy.
Would you prefer them or Eric Armstead?
One of them?
Yep.
Or Eric Armstead?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Boy, that's tough. I would have to really dig into it. My knee-jerk reaction is I would take Reddick at this point over Armstead.
Okay.
But I don't feel great about that, and I would need to do some additional research before giving you a full answer. Knee-jerk reaction, though, I want pass rush. I want guys coming off the edge.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, Bryce Huff, 3 years, 51.1. Man. Dang.
Yeah.
Good for him, man. An undrafted free agent.
Oh, wow.
And carved out a role where he gets 3 years, 51.1. According to Adam Schefter, the highest paid non-quarterback UDFA in NFL history.
Wow.
Man.
That's cool.
Good for Bryce Huff. Good for the Eagles. That's a good player.
I'm a big fan of the self-made man.
Me too.
The guys who work hard and find their way, not just into the league, whether it's NBA or you know, the NFL.
Yeah.
But then they carve out some sort of weird niche and they're something special.
Yeah, he was dominant last year, man. Wow. And now he gets paid. All right. So, again, we'll have the breaking news for you. From NFL free agency, the legal negotiating window is open. Josh Jacobs to the Packers makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, it's a big-time blow to the Raiders, though.
Although, yeah, but I don't think they were that interested in having him back.
Yeah.
I don't know what the contract terms for Jacobs haven't come out yet, but I don't mind. The Raiders took him in the first round. They got 5 years out of him. They got an all-pro season out of him where he led the league in rushing in 2022. He was less effective this year. He missed four games. And now he walks and he gets a deal with a Packers team that has Aaron Jones. But anytime you can add more talent at the running back spot, especially like a player like Josh Jacobs, who I think was a little bit underutilized as a pass catcher, I think that's something he can do. You have Aaron Jones, who missed six games this year because of injury. Now you have a little two-headed monster at running back that's going to help out your young quarterback. I really like what the Packers did there.
Yeah.
That's a good move for
them. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. What's on Aaron? I got to hang on. Now I'm stuck on the Aaron Jones thing. What's his deal? He's a free agent after this season. Okay.
Yeah, they said that they're working on something with him.
Hmm. Maybe God. Although they can't add.
Man, our scoreboard watching just got blown away.
Yeah, it did. We'll continue that next segment.
I like this, though. I like that we're here for NFL craziness. This is pretty cool.
No contract terms yet for Josh Jacobs. As soon as those come out, though, I'm going to be fascinated to see what they are. And I'm really interested what the Packers are doing at running back, because maybe they trade Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
because
it could be like a 330. That's what I'm kind of putting Josh Jacobs.
I think he's going to get some.
You think more?
No, I think less. Tony Pollard got 3 and 24.
Okay.
I think that's probably in the range of what Josh Jacobs is going to get.
Maybe. I mean, Jacobs led the league in rushing not last year, but the year before.
That's true. And Tony Pollard was pretty disappointing last year.
Yep.
All right. We'll have more NFL stuff. We got scoreboard watching to do. I want to finish my thought on the Clippers, and then we got some other games around the West to get to. And, of course, we have to get back into the Kings-Rockets matchup from last night. There's a couple of big picture things from that game that I want to talk about coming up with you in this final hour on The Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A nice little get for the Rams. Jonah Jackson, interior offensive lineman from Detroit. He was a Pro Bowler in 2021. That Detroit offensive line was very good. The Rams offensive line was not very good. I like the signing for LA. Good for them.
Yeah.
Bolstering that offensive front. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're scoreboard watching in the NBA, but we are also keeping an eye on NFL free agency with the legal negotiating window opening at 9 a.m. Today, we will bring you all the latest in the NFL, the breaking news across the league. We will have that for you right here on ESPN 1320. And of course, when we're done at noon, D'Lo and Casey will be picking that right back up. So you don't have to go anywhere once we bounce, because they will take over and have all that news for you as well. We're still scoreboard watching in the NBA. Kings fall to the Rockets last night, 112-104, yesterday afternoon, I should say. We're talking Bucks-Clippers. Bucks beat the Clippers by 7. The Clippers sat Kawhi Leonard. They sat Paul George. Russell Westbrook still out with a broken hand. The reason I like the Clippers is because so much of what happens in the playoffs comes down to, A, do you have a guy that can get you a bucket?
Mm-hmm.
And B, can you get a stop? Or can you string together a few stops? And I think I like the Clippers to string together stops in a playoff setting more than I like the Bucks to do it, based on what we've seen from the Bucks defense this year. They have just really, really struggled to figure things out without Drew Holiday at the point of attack. Chris Middleton, of course, is in and out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not as effective defensively as he once was. And so a lot of it is just Giannis cleanup. And maybe Giannis is just good enough to figure that all out by himself and be fine in the playoffs. But that would be my big concern about Milwaukee when it comes to buying either Milwaukee or LA.
Yeah, I mean, I get that concern. I would just, my counter would be that the Bucks have two guys that can drop 40 on you at any time. And I don't think the Clippers...
No, that's a good point.
...have that anymore. Like, yeah. Kawhi Leonard can get you 30-something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that Paul George, like, I've watched Paul George quite a bit, like, mm-hmm. this season. I'm not sure he's a 30-point-per-game guy when you need it.
No, I think I agree with you.
He might be able to get you a 35, but I think it would be a struggle. James Harden, I think it'd be a struggle. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued, but I think you know that Giannis and you know that Dame are going to get you 60 a game in a playoff
series.
That's
a good point.
Combined.
Paul George has gone for 30 eight times this year, and he hasn't gone for more than 38.
Okay.
Just to kind of back your point there. Yeah, if you told me Paul George went for 40, I wouldn't be floored by it, but it'd definitely be a little bit like, oh man, he must have gotten hot from three.
Yeah.
And it feels like it wouldn't be as, like, he's just not, he said it on a podcast last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago now. He's like, I'm just not a one anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. And the thing that when I look at the Bucks, they have two legitimate ones. Like they do.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like
no doubt.
Still, those guys are walking, talking buckets. You know, they're going to go out there and they're going to, in a playoff series, maybe 60, 65 games where they will combine for 70.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep up with that.
Kawhi had 41 in a game this year against Utah.
Yeah.
So it's there. But yeah, again, 38, 36, 36, 34. Like you said, you're not guaranteed going into a game like, hey, I know I'm getting 60 from these two guys, which is a fair point. I believe that, okay, you might be getting 60 from those two guys, but I think you're going to consistently get enough offensively from the Clippers. And then if it comes down to getting a stop, I like their guys to do it more than I like the Bucks guys to do it.
Okay.
I think. All right, the second game on our scoreboard watching, we got Pelicans-Hawks, Pelicans 116. Hawks 103. Is there a team in the West that's not Denver that is scarier than New Orleans right now?
I think it just depends on who you are.
Okay.
Because I think for the Kings, yeah, there's not a scarier team. Like if I'm the Kings and I've got a choice going into the final game of the season between being a five and playing the Pelicans and dropping to six and playing anyone else.
Yeah.
I'm probably dropping to six.
No doubt. Especially since that anyone else is probably going to be the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
We're now a game and a half out of first.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think the Timberwolves are going to have a tough time competing here down the stretch.
Mm.
And that's just because, you know, injury bug has hit them
pretty hard. Yeah, you're missing your second best player.
Yeah. And we did see Rudy Gobert pick up a $100,000 fine this weekend.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think... I was actually surprised the league didn't suspend him.
If you missed it, there was a call that Rudy Gobert didn't agree with in a game, and he made the money sign at the official, like, you're being paid. And then in his press conference, he alluded to or outright said that gambling is affecting how refs call games.
That's wild.
That is insane.
Yeah, I am that really, I'm surprised he didn't get like
$100,000 fine is crazy, though.
Yeah, but you suspend him for a game, and it's a lot more than $100,000.
Yeah. No, that's true. Game check is...
Yeah, his game checks are big. I'm surprised the league didn't say, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're messing with the integrity of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially in a league that has already literally had that happen. I don't know if you guys remember it.
Yeah. It's one thing for me to sit here and tell and espouse that, like, look, if you go into a game against the Lakers or the Warriors, you have to beat them... In a play-in tournament, mm-hmm. you got to beat them by 15.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, you're not getting any benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. You are not going to get calls. You're not going to get bailed out. You have to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to beat them and the officials. Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, the league, they stars get star treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Their stars are bigger stars than your stars. They're going to get more calls than you
are. Sure. But that's different than going, hey, the refs bet on the under.
No, that's crazy talk. And I am very surprised he's not sitting out a few games.
Golden State 23rd in fouls called this year on them and 17th in fouls. No, I'm sorry. 23rd in fouls drawn, 17th in fouls committed.
Well, as you get older and you're not as quick and you're not as...
That just surprises me.
Yeah, but they're a three-point shooting team, mm-hmm. and there's a point where their three-point shooting just isn't as, like, you're not going to get those fouls
third
that you were before. Third and three-point attempts? Yeah. So, they're not physical.
24th and two-point attempts?
Yeah. No, they're just not physical, man, yeah. And I mean, that's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any team more dangerous than the Pelicans in the West right now that's not Denver.
Okay.
Just their combination of length and physicality what they can do defensively. If Zion's going to be healthy and playing well, did you see what the stat lines were for him and Brandon Ingram last night?
No.
They went for, standby, I've got it for you right here. They went for a combined, well, not combined, Zion, 27 points, 6 boards, 7 assists, B.I., 7 points, 10 boards, 7 boards, 10 assists, C.J. McCollum, 24-3, and then you had Trey Murphy was the other one, 28 points, 7 boards, 2 assists.
Oh.
Like, they're just so deep right now and playing so well, and you have Brandon Ingram, who scores 7 points but then goes and dishes out 10 assists. 7 points on 9 shots, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm really, really impressed with what the Pelicans are doing right now. And I think they're going to be really, really hard to beat in a playoff series.
Yeah, I think they are too. Like, this is a team that when you watch them play against the Kings, you're just like, well, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. And
like, there's no way to stop them. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas only plays 16, 17 minutes in that game and only scores 4 points, 9 rebounds. You know, every time he plays the Kings, he's going to put up close to 20 and 10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the Sabonis thing. Him and Sabonis are friends. They go at each other, all that stuff. And you know, hidden in this game, Sadiq Bey blew his ACL for Atlanta.
Mm.
He was in that game. This morning from, I think, Woj that he blew his ACL.
That's potentially a big deal for the Kings offseason.
Well, I mean,
we were going to talk a lot about Sadiq Bey.
That's my guy. It's one of my guys.
You love Sadiq Bey.
Well, I just like the idea of Sadiq Bey. It's you know, it's not that I've gone crazy. It's just that the Kings need players like that.
Dude, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. I'm right there with you. Yeah, I would be terrified of New Orleans if I'm a West playoff team. I just think they're going to be a really, really tough out.
No, I agree.
Third game, scoreboard watching, the Lakers 120, the Timberwolves 109. If these two are in a playoff series, which is definitely possible, who would you pick?
Lakers.
Me too. I think Anthony Edwards is trending in the direction of being able to carry a team if a guy like Karl Anthony Towns is out. I don't think he's there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think they have the secondary scoring. If Ant does have a night where he goes for 26, I don't think Mike Conley is effective enough scoring the basketball anymore. I don't think Jaden McDaniels is there yet. Rudy Gobert is certainly not it. Naz Reid, God love him, he can't be your second best scorer.
Mm.
I don't think they have enough in 7 games.
Yeah, that's been my issue with them, is that I really do feel like they don't have that other scorer.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to have that other scorer. I mean, now we're talking about, oh my goodness, breaking news.
Oh.
Kirk Cousins signing with the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Oh my God.
For Jordan Schultz.
That's nutty. Holy smokes.
Wow. 4-year deal. I don't think we have the dollar amount yet, but yeah.
His agent reported it.
Oh, okay. His agent reported the... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he tweeted the news.
Okay.
So we don't have numbers yet. Holy crap.
Wow.
Kirk Cousins is out of my life officially.
There it is. There will not be...
I never have to write another Kirk Cousins 49ers post ever again.
There it is.
I might write an obituary to the Kirk Cousins 49ers storyline. Yeah, thank you so much.
You've done it.
Big time for me.
You've done it, Kyle.
Big time for me and 49ers content creators everywhere. Huge day. Would that be a funny thing if I wrote an obituary to the Kirk Cousins 49ers storyline?
I think so.
Like, we had a good run?
I think, yeah.
What has it been? 8 years?
Yeah.
Good 8-year run? Okay. All right. I'm going to do that too.
There it is.
Check it out on NinersWire.com. All right. We have more NFL news coming up. Surely we'll have that for you right away. That was scoreboard watching. We'll continue doing that throughout the year because, of course, the Kings battling for that 6th playoff spot. And I think they need that playoff spot because I don't know how much I trust them in a play-in game, personally. All right. I also want to talk about Keegan Murray and Davion Mitchell. We got plenty of stuff coming up for you in our final segment on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I haven't done that in a while. I haven't done that since we've been in the room together.
That's right.
I'm out of panic like, we're back! That's James.
I love the Kyle, we're back moments.
The phones aren't open, but want to remind you that I want to shout out Farmer's Dog. The Farmer's Dog talk line is 916-909-1320. Phone line's not currently open. Jesse, if you're watching, if you could pop those open, that'd be sick. I know you got to be in Studio 2 soon, or Studio 1 soon anyway. You don't have to.
Studio 1.
Jesse,
studio
I don't.
Studio 2.
Whatever
studio
you want to do.
Studio 1. Studio 2.
It's up to you. But that's Farmer's Dog. A healthy life starts with healthy food. Oh, here he comes. What the? Yeah, look at him.
Look at that.
He's the man. I got to ask him how he feels about the Christian Wilkins signing.
Yeah.
Or the losing Christian Wilkins. His Dolphins losing Christian Wilkins. That's tough. All right. The Farmer's Dog talk line is open. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. I've got those up. Come on. All right. Can we talk about Keegan Murray real quick?
Sure.
And of course, we'll have all the latest NFL breaking news for you as well. I'm a little concerned. I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking about Keegan Murray. I'm not making definitive statements about what he is or what he will be or what he can be. But we have to lay this out and follow the logic. We talked about a couple weeks ago how everything, and Mike Brown said as much, everything moving forward for the Kings is about Keegan Murray's development. Not just for this year, not just because he can contribute this year, but next year and beyond. So much of the Kings' eggs, not all the eggs, but a lot of their eggs are in the Keegan Murray becomes an all-star caliber player bucket, basket. We said that everything moving forward has to be about his development. You got to make the playoffs for the draft pick stuff. You have to make the playoffs, but also you need to make sure that Keegan Murray is coming along. Keegan Murray, in his last 5 games, yesterday against the Rockets, 3 for 11, he went 0 for 5 from 3, he had 13.6 boards, no assists. In his last 5 games, he's shooting 36.9% from 3 on about 9 attempts a game. 9 attempts a game. He's 4 of 22 from 3, that's 18.2%. Perfect from the free throw line, 13 for 13. He's averaging 12.2 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 1.6 assists, which are almost identical to his rookie year numbers. And I don't know. If we're going to sit here and be like, hey, everything is about Keegan moving forward, and the production since then is bad, I have a hard time being like, hey, this is all fine. This is all great. This is all part of the process. This is going exactly how they wanted it to go. I can't get there. I'm starting to get worried.
Okay, so I'm
Keegan worried.
I'm not going to get worried because this is how I look at his second season.
Okay.
I think that there was an idea that he was going to become a 20-point-per-game guy this year or 18-point-per-game guy this year. And I'm someone who thought that he would take this leap. Even in the second half of the season, I thought, okay.
Sure, same.
I did forget about one thing that I do believe that is impacting this. And it's not only that De'Aaron Fox is trying to become an All-NBA player again, and that Domantas Sabonis is again, like becoming more and more of a presence offensively. But it's the fact that Malik Monk is in the final year of a contract and is not only fighting to be sixth man of the year, which he's now the odds on favorite to be, a minus 240, but he's a guy who's going out there each and every night and becoming this third scorer that the Kings maybe didn't know that they had. I mean, they knew they had it. But you got to remember, like, for as good as Malik Monk was last year, and we all think, you know, just how amazing he was last year, his stats weren't, like, astronomical. He averaged 13.5 points per game. When you take a leap from 13.5 to 15.7 and from 3.9 assists to 5.3 per game, and I'm guaranteeing his usage has skyrocketed.
That's, Keegan's?
No. Malik.
Malik's got it. Okay.
And so part of the reason I bring this up, actually his usage is the same as it was last year, 25.8, 25.6. But when you see a player take this type of leap, you can't have everybody taking a leap, right? When you see Fox go from 25 to 27 points a game, when you see Domas go from 18.6 to 20.1, like these are all incremental jumps, right? So that's one thing. The second thing I'm going to say is that when Keegan Murray decided to take a leap as a defender and become this all-world defender, which we're watching like the maturation of a player all of a sudden becomes, he's not Kawhi Leonard, but he's probably like, if the voters were really looking, he's probably second team All-NBA defender.
Yeah, probably.
It's just
he's
that
been
he's
very, very good on that end.
Yeah, he's just on a really bad defensive team, so you're probably not going to give it to him.
Right.
So my point is that we didn't expect Keegan to become the Kings' best defensive player this season.
That's fair, yeah.
Maybe not ever. And then all of a sudden he is. And so how much energy is he expending on that end of the court all of a sudden defending, whether it's Kawhi or Paul George or name or, again, Steph Curry? Like, he's defending everybody on every team. And so I want to say, like, hey, you know, we expected more from you. And here, this five game sample is you're not as strong as we thought you would be. You're shooting 18% from three and all that. But he needs to take the step physically this next offseason where he's now ready to be a two way player for 36 minutes a game. He took the step to be a great defender and he's gotten better offensively. But that step to become a great defender all of a sudden came with this. Oh, now you're our only defender. You're our defender, our guy.
Sure.
And I don't think that physically, like, you can keep up in year two taking that type of leap. If you're just a defender, sure. If you're just a 3 and D guy, okay. But when you're asking him to do as much as he's being asked to do, he can level up. But in leveling up, he's got this problem that, like, you're only so physically prepared to take that next step. And I think this offseason is going to be another one where he's just really, really focused on becoming better and becoming that next level guy.
But there was never a point in the year, there's never been a point in this season where we've been like, hey, wow, Keegan's really made this jump this year, and now all of a sudden we're starting to see him run out of gas a little bit. Like, this is a year long problem.
Oh no, I totally agree.
And that's where I buy into what you're saying a little bit, because I mean, we talked about it after the there was a game against the Warriors where he did not shoot it well at all. We're like, yeah, but he played great defense, and maybe it's, you know, about figuring it out how to do that on both ends, how to expend that energy on both ends. to me, that's like, that's growth that can happen through the course of this season. And that the bigger concern for me, like, okay, the numbers are down. It's like the nine field goal attempts for a player who is supposedly supposed to be this huge piece for the Kings moving forward. Mike Brown said it. Like, that wasn't just us talking.
Oh, no.
Mike Brown has said, like, this is the guy moving forward. If we are going to be a contender, it has to be with Keegan Murray in tow and playing really, really well and playing at a high level. And the production since then has been bad. And that's where, if that's what it's about, okay, so Keegan is not the kind of guy who's going to go out and be like, hey, give me the ball. I'm shooting it 20 times tonight. That's just not his demeanor. That's not his nature. And that's okay. But how is it that you have this piece? And I get this is less about Keegan and more about the Kings overall. How do you have this piece who is this vital to your success now and in the future, shooting it 9 times a game across 5 games? That you and I talked about how big this is. Like, hey, draw up some plays for him. Get him 15, 16 shots a game. Get him putting shots up, because he's shooting it 12 times a game this year as compared to 10 last year. So you're getting 2 more shots a game. I want to see 15, 16 a game down the stretch, and that number's going backwards. He hasn't taken more than 11 shots in a game in a week and a half. 2 weeks. What day is it? Almost 2 weeks. No, 10 days.
I get your point. I do. I just don't think that there's like a straight line that we follow to his development.
Why? I want there to be one.
We want there to be one. I know. Everyone wants there. But I'll bring it back to a point that I've made a couple of times. Like, people want to talk about the limitations of Domantas Sabonis as a player, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's like he's not a shot blocker. He's not a knockdown three pointer, or he's not shooting enough threes, right?
Saquon Barkley to the Eagles.
Ooh.
Dang, dude.
Oh, a 3-year, $37.75 million deal that could be worth up to 47.
Excuse me, Tom Pelissero, I believe. Nope, Mike Garofolo. Who had this first? Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter.
Oof.
Adam Schefter had it first.
Wow, and the Patriots are signing former Commanders running back Antonio Gibson.
Mm, I like Antonio Gibson.
I like Gibby, too.
As a big Antonio Gibson guy out of Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 and 37.75 for Saquon. Whew. Worth up to 46.7.
Okay.
So a shade under 12 a year?
That's impressive.
No, hang on, I'm sorry. A shade under 13 a year.
Wow.
Okay. Mm. 26 so, fully guaranteed.
Let me get back to the point.
Back to Keegan.
With Keegan. And I'll be quick with this.
No, it's fine. I don't need to deep dive on Saquon Barkley's meaning for the Eagles. We have all offseason. Keegan Murray.
Sabonis has limitations, right? We always talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is not to like send Sabonis in during the offseason to have like arm extensions installed in his arms. Like, that's not humanly possible, but also that's not the answer. The answer is to find the right player to play alongside him.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Mm-hmm. So if you want, this is how I would bring this back to Keegan. Mm-hmm. If you want Keegan to be more offensive, then go get him a better defender to pair with him. Go get him another 6'8", 6'9", mm-hmm. 7'2", 7'3" wingspan, super athlete that is a 3-and-D guy that concentrates on that end of the floor. Mm-hmm. So then that way, as opposed to every single minute of the game, Keegan Murray being on the best offensive player on the opposition, maybe there's some half the game where he can be on the second best.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give him that break and let him be the offensive player. By changing the structure of your rotation and some of the key pieces,
mm-hmm.
you can elevate a guy by having someone else take on some of what he does and allow him to be more of what you want him to be.
Sure.
And I think that that's just like the roster construction of this specific team is off. And we've known it all year long.
No doubt.
We felt it all year long.
No doubt.
It won't be the same next year. And if it is, then I'll go back to Jerry Reynolds, like the Jerryism. If you think you have a 5-year plan in the NBA, you have no plan at all.
Sure.
Because you won't be there to see year five. You won't be there to see year three.
Right.
That's not the way it goes.
Right. And that makes sense. I guess, and maybe this is me way oversimplifying it, but to me then, again, and if Keegan Murray is this important, which I believe he is, what they're getting for his defensive effort over this stretch is the 28th ranked defensive rating in the NBA since the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah.
So you're getting this awesome defense that is translating to nothing while also not getting him developmental reps on the offensive end. You're standing in mud. And to me, if I'm Mike Brown, or if I'm the Kings front office or the coaching staff or whoever it is that makes these decisions, I'm sure it's a collective brain trust. It's like, dude, get Keegan off of the best player then. Let him play offensively.
I get that, but at the same time, if you do that, you do still
what, are you
going to
have a worse defensive rating?
No, but you still have to worry about wins and losses. And it's not just that Keegan is your best defender. Keegan being your best defender gives you the best chance to win.
Okay.
So it can't just be about, like, you know, if Keegan from here on out, the rest of the season, is just a 3-and-D guy, that's okay. It's not perfect.
Okay.
But then you address that in the offseason by going out and getting the right guys to enhance who he is.
Sure.
Got me?
I guess then we need to redo and recalibrate our conversation about Keegan Murray's importance the rest of the way and his development, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Because I was under the impression when we talked about that we were talking about, man, we need to get this guy some shots and ensure that he is developing on the offensive end, because that is going to be a huge piece of what he does for them moving forward. Now, maybe that's just wrong. Maybe they're going, no, it's going to be De'Aaron, it's going to be Malik. Those are going to be the go-to guys in crunch time. Domas is going to continue to be the hub. He's never going to be the shoot it 18 to 20 times a game guy. He's not going to average 25 or 26. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And now Keegan, they're realizing that, hey, he is going to be a 3-and-D player where, okay, there's going to be nights where they're missing a player and he needs to do a little more offensively. But for the most part, he's going to be a 3-and-D guy behind Malik Monk and behind De'Aaron Fox and behind Domantas Sabonis. Let's bring in Kenny Caraway for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. I'm worried about Keegan Murray. Oh, hang on. I suck at this. Go ahead.
Worried in what way? Like, what you mean?
I'm worried that offensively he is not developing the way that they need him to.
That's fair.
Thank you.
That's fair. I mean,
James called me stupid for it.
Stupid. I said it three times. I said stupid.
Yeah.
No, that's
he didn't say that.
That I don't. He's got to be better. I mean, it just is what it is. Can he be better? I guess that's the question we're all trying to figure out right now.
Yeah.
But what he's given this team in the last couple of weeks, as they're trying to make a stretch run and get into the playoffs, it hasn't been good enough. He's got to be better.
I
expect him. So I guess maybe to answer your question about, or maybe it wasn't even a question, but just a statement about being concerned about him. I'm more expecting more and saying that he should be better because I'm not necessarily worried about him. I think he does have everything that's needed to be what the Kings need and what they're looking for. And he's got to execute. I expect him to execute, better.
Do you buy the idea that he's struggling offensively because of the effort he's exerting defensively?
No.
Why not?
If that's the case, then he's not what everybody's saying he is.
I don't know.
That's where my worry is.
Like if that's the case, then he's not. I don't buy that, because we're not even asking you to do what De'Aaron does and play defense.
That's a good point.
We're not asking you to average 25. We're asking you to give me a solid 15 to 17 a night and play defense.
Yeah, but we're talking year seven De'Aaron Fox, and we're talking year two Keegan Murray. Like, there's a buildup to a player where they have to learn what it is to be consistent as a scorer. I mean, look at Fox's evolution. He goes from 12 points to 17 to 20, and then 23, and then 25, and then back to 23, and then all of a sudden 25 and 27. Like, there is like a natural progression of a player where they don't just go into the offseason and they work on something like, oh, I'm going to be a better three-point shooter. They go into the offseason, they get bigger, they get stronger, they get in better shape, they understand what the rigors of 82 games looks like. And I think we saw Keegan learn what 82 games looks like as a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. This year, he's seeing what 82 games looks like as an elite defender and an offensive weapon. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the progression and getting prepared for that 82 games is mm-hmm. different. Did you just see Kirk Cousins' numbers? Is that what this is?
Did you see Kirk Cousins' contract?
Kirk Cousins got paid.
4 years, $180 million with $100 million guaranteed.
180.
Actually, Tom Pelissero has a typo. He says, another monster payday for Cousins who gets $100 guaranteed. Here's $100.
Him and Arson Judge getting $100.
Have you guys pocket watched Kirk Cousins yet?
I think we did it one time. I don't remember all the numbers. I'm pretty sure we did.
Because this has got to be like his fourth $100 million contract.
Yeah, he is the finesse god, Kirk Cousins.
Unbelievable.
And saying
he's coming out for an Achilles injury.
Saying finesse god means that he's like tricking people. He's actually a good quarterback. I think he's a better quarterback than people sure. give him credit for.
So. I agree with you. I think he's still trying to shake the early career primetime nightmare games. Yeah. He's never won in the playoffs, dude. Like, we see it with Domas here.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you have one playoff series where you don't dominate it, and it's like, well, that guy can't play.
Right.
Like, right. So I think that's what Kirk Cousins' problem. He's an excellent quarterback, though.
I was listening to something over the weekend, and people were, I don't know. This is a conversation for another day. I think people will be talking about Josh Allen a little too. Maybe give him a little bit more credit than I think he deserves.
Like, I'm with you.
Like, they talk like, about it, him like he's Mahomes. Like, he's not.
That right. No, but he keeps running into Mahomes.
Yeah.
He lost to Burrow. Burrow beat his ass in his own place. He's not
point.
Joe
That's
Burrow.
That's a good point, too. It's a good point,
like,
too.
Like, Josh Allen is a good quarterback. He's not what these people try to say he is.
I think
in
I'm
my
with
eyes.
You. I think I'm with you. We're going to see this year. Buffalo lost a lot of dudes.
Mm. I would.
We're going to see this year.
I would. The only thing with Josh Allen, what does he look like in a league that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes?
Somebody that loses to Joe Burrow.
Maybe. Maybe. But it's also possible he could be a champ. I don't know.
I think I lean toward James. Like,
he's
Patrick
good.
Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes needed 13 seconds to tie that game, and then Josh Allen never got the ball back.
He's a good ball player.
Yeah,
he's a hell of a ball player.
I think I'm with you. He gets a lot of benefit of the doubt that other players don't get. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins has never gotten the benefit of the doubt. Lamar Jackson certainly does not get that benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Yeah.
But Josh Allen, it's like, oh, man. He's one of the best, one of the two best quarterbacks in the league.
And on top of that, like, you just watch Josh Allen, like, I know we got to get out of here, but he does, like, he'll turn the ball over to you.
60 seconds.
He'll give it up to you.
I know.
Like, he'll,
but there's, dude, it's so funny
they
watching.
They don't say nothing about that.
Because they'll tell you, the infamous they, will tell you it's because the turnovers don't matter. It's because of where the turnovers happen that they're actually not that big of a deal.
Oh, I don't know. I don't
Suddenly
buy
turnovers
they
are good now. I don't know, man.
I don't know. They
turnovers
are saying.
Are good.
Yeah. It's the EPA per play isn't that bad. Like, he gave the ball away. You don't give up possession.
He's a good quarterback. He's not
he's very,
Lamar.
Very good.
He's not Mahomes, and I don't think he's Burrow.
No, he's very good. I believe he is up in that tier, but he gets talked about like he's this awesome playoff quarterback and wins all these playoff games. Like, dude, you got to keep the same energy for all the quarterbacks that don't win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to get out of here. D'Lo and KC coming up next. A lot of Kings talk.
Yeah, a lot of Kings talk, trying to figure some things out.
All right. They'll figure it out next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend.
My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style, you get quality, you get beeps and boops and dings and whomps, and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.